You are listening to Fanthatrax.
Because of the following special program, Wonder Woman and the Incredible Hulk will not be presented this evening.
Time to get all your Star Wars news in a single file. This is Making Tracks. Here are your hosts, Mark Newbold and Mark Mulcaster.
That's not true. That's impossible.
Hello and welcome to episode 112 of Making Tracks, brought to you by the fine folk over at fanfortracks.com. My name's Mark, I am one of your co-hosts, and joining me this week, well, joining me every week to be fair, is the only man who we can describe as Bigger Mark. Say hi, Mark.
I know exactly where you're coming from with that one, man. Hi, Mark. How are you? Hello, smaller Mark.
Actually, that doesn't work out quite so well, does it? That makes me just feel slightly inferior.
Well, you set me up for it. Yeah. You set me up.
Of course. How are you doing, buddy? How's things?
Oh, very good. Very good. Busy as always. We've been crazy busy because as we record this, it's Wednesday, isn't it? Oh, I don't even know what month it is. So, yeah, so usually we record this on a Sunday. We were both busy this Sunday at MCM in London. Good fun, though. Good fun.
Yeah. We kind of missed each other at MCM. You were there Saturday. I was there Friday and Sunday. But what I understand, at least looking at the photos that good old Matt Booker has posted up on fanfortracks.com, a good time is had by all.
It was, yeah. Some of the team were there. Like you say, Matt and Brian were there. I was there on the Saturday. You were there Friday and Sunday. That's right, isn't it?
That's right. Yep, there with the UK Garrison sweating my socks off in my Boba Fett.
You had a good time there.
I had a great time. Yeah, it was really good fun. And not only because, you know, I was with the 501st, but also just because it was great to be out in costume again at a convention. I've done it a couple of times this year already when we've been at events, either in my vet or with the Rebel Legion and stuff, but it's still really nice to have people come up to you and kind of say, oh, wow, your costume looks amazing, and appreciate the fact that we're there as well, which I think, you know, before the pandemic, we were out most weekends doing conventions and stuff, and I think everybody, fans, us, and Matt, started to take it for granted. But the reset after the pandemic has kind of helped, I think, people appreciate things a little bit more.
Oh, couldn't agree more. I totally get that. And it's weird when you with the costuming and what you do and us with the news coverage and such, you're out all the time, you're doing stuff all the time. You do kind of take it for granted. So this, as you say, reset's a great way of phrasing it. You know, that this break we've had has made us go back into it thinking, wow, this is actually well cool doing this. It's great. So I really enjoyed MCM. It was good fun. It was nice to be out there. Myself and Brian got a cracking interview with Kevin Scott, which will be coming out very soon on Fanthatrax Radio as an episode of Can of Fodder. And there's new episodes of Planet Leia coming. There's new episodes of Desert Planet coming. We're finally going to launch Start Your Engines after 2 years of me prevaricating about it.
Awesome.
So the whole network's really getting up and running again. So it's all good. Has any cool new stuff come into your possession this week, Mark?
No. Absolutely no. Do you know what? Yeah, it's just dawned on me.
Really?
Yeah, it's just dawned on me. Nothing. I don't even think I've had a letter, like a bill or anything. It's
really?
Yeah. It's just dawned on me. How unbelievably depressed. And to be honest, I was so busy in costume on the weekend. Yeah. I just didn't even get a chance to go out and do any kind of shopping. Probably be picking something up so that hopefully we will have something to discuss next week.
I didn't buy anything at MCM, and that's never happened since my first Comic-Con back in the early 90s. I've always bought something. I literally didn't buy a thing, which is weird. But I did pick up my new comics from Matt. So there's a few things to go through there. There's that lovely Viz Media version of Guardian the Wills, which I'm looking forward to having a read of. So my good buddy Pete Fletcher made a T-shirt out of something that I said on Twitter. So I basically said, in response to somebody talking about Star Wars and retconning and such, I made some quote along the lines of, you know, retconning the galaxy since 1977. Pete thought it was a cool idea, so he's put it into like his T-Fury T-shirt page, and it's out there and available. A quote I came up with on Twitter this week, you can get as a T-shirt, which is about the coolest
thing. That's cool.
And the T-shirt's actually turned up. It's upstairs at the moment, so I haven't got it to hand, but I will make sure I'm wearing it at some point over the next few days. So yeah, so that's come in. There's been a few of the bits and bobs, but we are up against the clock today. So shall we just pile into the news and see what we can talk about?
Let's see what we can pull out of the bag. And actually, hot off of the presses, shall we start with the latest Saturn Awards? The winners were announced last night.
Yeah, the 46th annual Saturn Awards, which is a big deal in the realms of sci-fi and fantasy. Star Wars The Rise of Skywalker did really well. It walked away with 5 awards, not only The Rise of Skywalker, also The Clone Wars and The Mandalorian. But Rise of Skywalker It won Best Science Fiction Film. JJ won Best Director. It won Best Music for John Williams. It won Best Special Effects and Best Makeup. Neil Scanlon in both of those categories as well. And also for, as I say, Mandalorian, Best Presentation on TV. Best Animated Series was The Clone Wars. It was a fantastic night for Star Wars.
Absolutely, it's fantastic. And do you know what? It still seems odd, doesn't it? Because it feels like Rise of Skywalker was such a long time. It was almost a lifetime ago.
Yeah.
You know, and to see that it's picking up Best Science Fiction Film and Best Director and all that is just awesome. And I think just generally an awesome kind of turnout really for Star Wars in general, what with Mandalorian picking up some awards and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So fantastic.
It is. It's weird. Like you say, Clone Wars is long gone and Mandalorian Season 2 is kind of long gone and Rise of Skywalker is really long gone. But it just goes back to what we mentioned a few minutes ago. You know, this whole pandemic thing has put the world back by 18 months. And so we're talking about films that are, wow, you can pick up Rise of Skywalker in, you know, Morrison's for a fiver now on DVD. It's
just depressing, isn't it?
Isn't it crazy? But fantastic to see it do so well. And Mando and Clone Wars especially are doing so well at the Saturns.
Hi, this is John Morton from The Empire Strikes Back. I'm Dak Ralta, or Bespin Boba, and you're listening to Fantha Tracks.
Ahsoka, it looks like, and it's a rumour that was first posted in The Hollywood Reporter, they're claiming, and it's not been confirmed by Lucasfilm, so this is definitely not rock solid, but they're saying that Hayden Christensen will be appearing in some form or fashion in the Ahsoka Disney Plus series, which of course stars as Rosario Dawson. Rosario and Hayden Christensen are old pals.
Yeah.
What do you think of this? Now, if they do this, I've got my own thoughts about how they'll bring him back, but what are your thoughts? How do you think they'll do it? Do you think they'll make it something contemporary? It'll be flashbacks, it'll be Force Ghosts. What do you think?
Good question. I mean, the thing is, ultimately, if you've got an Ahsoka series for live action, that's going to appeal to a much broader and wider audience than potentially the animation. Mm. And so there's a lot of backstory with Ahsoka that they kind of need to find a way to kind of cram in so that, you know, if there is some kind of connection to Anakin Skywalker, because you can't just literally have somebody on screen just go, oh yeah, weren't you like Anakin Skywalker's apprentice? They need to show something like that, because I'm sure one of the things they could probably, you know, deal with in this series, or at least for first season, if it's multiple seasons, it's going to be maybe Ahsoka kind of coming to terms with Anakin being Vader and all that brought with it. Yeah. I mean, for instance, you know, you could quite easily see that, you know, if you've been trained by somebody who becomes like a dark Jedi and, you know, a Sith Lord, then you maybe have to start questioning what you've been taught and how your perception of the Force is and how that could maybe affect the decisions you've already made.
Yeah, that's a great point. Yeah, because I suppose if you look at Ahsoka as a character, she always felt like an add-on to that whole Clone Wars era story. But as the years have gone by, you've realised she's way more integral than we would ever have imagined when she first rocked up in the Clone Wars movie in 2008. So to be that character that now in The Mandalorian, we've seen her, you know, involved in Grogu getting back to Luke and all that storyline. And we know that, you know, Thrawn gets mentioned. And we know that's leading into its own series. She was let down by the Jedi. So she must have walked away at some point thinking these kids get chosen and kids get taken and trained because of their capability and powers within the Force. And presumably Ahsoka was one of those little kids. She didn't really have a choice. She only came to have a choice when she made the choice to not go back. So like you say, you know, to have that concern or that thought process of who were these people that were training me, because Anakin fell foul of it and she had complete trust in Anakin, and we saw those moments in season two Rebels of the two of them clashing when she realized that Anakin and Vader were the same and all that stuff. But if this happens, phenomenal. My thought process, I think he's going to come back as a Force ghost.
Yeah, I think so, because I think that will at least create some interesting interplay with the Ahsoka now.
Yeah.
Otherwise, all we're pretty much getting is flashbacks of maybe stuff we've either seen or stuff we haven't necessarily seen, like in Clone Wars.
Yeah.
The fans who have stayed with it all this time, we know what the relationship with Anakin and Ahsoka was like. So there's probably not much new there to be mined. But actually, yeah, an interaction with Ahsoka and Anakin as Force Ghost could be really interesting.
Booker's alive! Be gone with him!
So, last Friday saw the running of Hasbro PulseCon 2021. There was loads of reveals, and there were loads of exclusives, and there was all sorts of cool stuff. And you could see me on the screen, if you were watching closely enough, randomly waving during the Ghostbusters panel and clapping during the Power Rangers panel, of which I know absolutely nothing other than they go, go, go Power Rangers or something like that. Anyway, it was fun. It was fun. It was nice to be invited, and I was really there for the Star Wars. So there were some PulseCon exclusives. We'll go through the list of what they revealed, some great reveals. The Trapper Wolf Black Series figure, Emperor's Throne Room Vintage Collection, Cantina Showdown for the Black Series, all are now available on Pulse and in other places. What did you make of those? I think we talked about those being revealed before, yeah. But there's some really nice stuff.
Yeah, I mean, the Trapper Wolf figure went like that, yeah. Whoosh, sold out straight away. What's even more annoying and heartbreaking for me anyway was on Tuesday, I think Hasbro basically said that they had found some extra stock and it was going to go live at 6 o'clock. I happened to be driving and then completely forgot about it. Checked my phone at 6:10 and of course all that secondary stock is sold as well. So I'm now on the hunt for, the tertiary market, I guess, to pick one up for probably billion credits, because Dave Filoni and an X-Wing pilot, it doesn't get much better than that. The Power of the Force 2 Cantina set, the 6-inch Cantina cinema scene that we got, that took my breath away a little bit in terms of like the price, because that was like 110 quid, yeah. But then actually, to be fair to him, Matt Booker kind of broke it down and said, well, look, you know 6-inch Black Series figures, like, you know, 20 odd quid plus each, so you've got three there plus the play set, so that's gonna be another 40 quid. So it's not overly expensive, it's just that actually kind of for what it is, you kind of go, I remember when I only paid 20 quid for this back in the Entertainer back in like 97 or something.
Didn't you pick up the 3¾ recently on your recollection of some of those old things?
On my rebuy, yeah. I know I picked some up. I don't know if I picked that one up. I might even pick that up. Maybe I might just see if it hangs around to the end of the month. I might just pick it up just for the sake of it as a well done for getting to the end of November.
Vintage Collection Speciality Wave. So there was a Phantom Menace inspired Anakin with his remote and his little Padawan training hat. 3.75-inch Mace Windu, which looks really nice from Attack of the Clones. They've got the soft goods looking fantastic on that. There's also a Ben Kenobi from Attack of the Clones, again, soft goods looking fantastic, and an Ahsoka from Season 7 of the Clone Wars, which looked absolutely phenomenal. And then they turn their attention to the Mandalorian. So there is the 6-inch Mando and Grogu from Maldo Crease, which is the planet with the ice spiders. Yeah. What did you make of this set? I think this looked fantastic.
I did think this looks fantastic. I pre-ordered by Vintage Wave when it was released, so that's already hopefully coming, I think it's the next year or something. It's crazy. Yeah. I'm trying my hardest to not get too sucked in with the Black Series, just with the standard kind of range, yeah. As such. I'm trying to keep it just a 3¾-inch. It is difficult when they do these kind of like packs, because yeah. Everything about it just screams, I want it. I mean, the only thing that's really missing is Frog Lady, isn't it?
That's
really
a good
if
point.
If they could have done a little bigger pack and actually put in Frog Lady. But hey, the spider, I think, it's probably just worth buying it for the spider alone, because the spider just looks awesome.
It does.
Absolutely, you know, terrifying, even at that scale.
Yeah, they need to do a big one. They need to do a proper full, the big mother that comes in at the end. They need to do one of those.
Yeah, absolutely.
There's a 6-inch Miggs Mayfeld figure from Morak, you know, the episode with the tanks. There's a Boba Fett, as he appeared on Titan, right near the end of Season 2. Again, soft goods look amazing. There's a Cobb Vanth. Ordered mine from All the Cool Stuff. If you want to get your figures in the UK, get them from All the Cool Stuff. Cobb Vanth, absolutely fantastic looking figure. The Deco on that is insane. And then moving to the Vintage Collection, similar to what they released earlier, Mando and Grogu, Maldo Crease, which again is with the spiders. You get about three spiders with this one. And yeah. little Grogu in his little egg-carrying pod, which is very cute. 3.75-inch Navarro Cantina playset. What do you make of this?
I think that's really cool. Nice surprise as well. Good to see that they've been doing dioramas for the original trilogy, so it's nice to see something for The Mandalorian. And I think, you know, the end of the Season 1 two-parter with that standoff in the cantina is a perfect setting for diorama builders.
Moving on from that, there's the Vintage Collection, the 3.75-inch Rebel Fleet Trooper pack. I'm totally ordering this because I ordered the Stormtrooper pack. And the way they've broke the figures down, very different looking figures, very, very cool. There's a few Galaxy's Edge releases. There is the AT-AT Driver, R5 Astromech, Mouse Droid, and General Hux. Beautiful, beautiful packaging on these. And then they move to the Droid Depot, where there's a Droid Depot action figure set, which is K7R1, CB23, a Pit Droid, Babu Frick, and Battle Droid. So basically, it's an RX series K2SO type droid, a BB-8 type droid, a very cool looking Pit Droid, Babu Frick, and a Battle Droid. Again, beautifully presented. What do you think of the packaging on these? I think they look gorgeous.
It kind of harkens back to the Vintage Collection, doesn't it? You know, yeah. With the vehicles and the playsets, where you'd have the sketch on one side and then the photo on the other. But it's a fun set because it's quite an interesting variety. You've got the old and then you've got the new and the cute. Wicked little set.
Wicked little set indeed. There's a creature pack as well, which includes a Kowakian Monkey Lizard, Minok, Porg, and Boglings. Again, that's a beautifully presented set. Nice little bit of texture there, character creature texture as well. They're releasing an FX Elite lightsaber, and it's one that had been rumoured. It's the Leia Organa lightsaber from The Rise of Skywalker, the award-winning The Rise of Skywalker. This looks phenomenal, totally. I know Claire Henry, who's our host of Planet Leia, has already pre-ordered her Leia lightsaber. This looks gorgeous, doesn't it? I think you'll be seeing plenty of those in the Legion.
I would think so, yeah. I mean, it's really nice, and it's quite nice because, again, we don't really get to see on film anyway these lightsabers in a huge amount of detail. So just even the photos of that, the 360 turnaround of what this lightsaber is, you can see kind of how it takes its inspiration from Luke's lightsaber and a little bit from Obi-Wan's lightsaber. Yeah. So yeah, it's really nice. I think I might have to pre-order it myself.
Yes, I was thinking that. It's not something I'd normally go for, but I think this might be too nice to pass up. I might regret that. There's some pipeline reveals as well from the Vintage Collection. ARC Trooper Jesse, 332nd Ahsoka Clone Trooper, a Mandalorian Super Commando Captain, and a Mando Trooper Disguise Morak, which is a Vintage Collection, all of those. The Black Series is Figwin Darn, Leia in a Rewalk Village outfit, New Republic Security Droid, and another Force Effects Elite lightsaber, Darth Vader's lightsaber. And then the big HasLab reveal, that monster Rancor, which we've already spoke about on the show because it was mentioned a few months back. But to see it in more detail, what did you make of this?
It's big.
It is, isn't
I mean,
it?
To be honest, it looks awesome. The detailing and texture on this mock-up looks amazing. I was left slightly uninspired, just partly because it wasn't already painted. So to seeing it in grey, it makes it a little bit flat. But you can kind of see it compared to as a 6-inch Stormtrooper. You get to see how big it is. It's going to be a monster. I haven't backed this yet. I'm on the fence with this one, if I'm honest. How about yourself?
I haven't either. I mean, you know, obviously we're both getting the crest. I didn't do the barge, which I kind of look back and wish I had, but I know that I would have nowhere to put it. I might. I mean, it's a big lump of plastic. I don't know. I probably won't, but I will regret it.
Yeah, I mean, so currently at the moment, I believe the backing of this project, we're after 9,000 backers. It's currently sat at 3,648. You know, the funding ends in 40 days. So, to be honest, there's not as much buzz about this as there was with the Razor Crest.
No.
Even the Katana. And I just wonder if that's partly because they've gone large, which is great. It's not something that we haven't had. I mean, the original vintage Rancor was, you know, relatively big. But this thing, I think, looking at it, there's a photo actually on the Hasbro Pulse site of the Razor Crest, the Katana, yes, and the Rancor. Yeah. And the Rancor looks to be like the same height as the Katana. Yeah. I think it's all about the scale, isn't it? So yeah. I suppose this may just not necessarily, you know, appeal to every kind of collector, to be honest.
I guess it depends on what you think HasLab is for, doesn't it? I mean,
exactly,
I think personally for me, I think for Black Series, you know, when they release the Snowspeeder and things like that, maybe that sort of scale, or figures that they're not going to do in mainline, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
For 3¾, then I think, yeah, you can go down the line of a Razor Crest or bigger vehicles. I'm sure at some point they'll do an Imperial Shuttle, or they'll, you know what I mean? They'll go down that route where you'll get something that, well, that takes up the space of a chair in the living room sort of thing. But with this, it's, you know, look, you just mentioned it, 9,000 backers, they're at 3,000, as you say. Stretch goal's at 11,000, second stretch goal at 13.5. It's a big beast. It's 27 inches wide with his arms stretched out, 45 points of articulation, 950 deco points. So it's full on, spot on scale, correct scale for a 6-inch figure. $350, they're saying here. $350. So it's going to be 350 quid, like you say. Spring 23, perfect, because Jedi's 40th anniversary in 23. So it all makes sense. But yeah, I think this will be like the Katana. I think this will gather pace as it gets nearer the deadline.
For everything in one location, daily news, reviews, interviews, podcasts, video and social media feeds, bookmark FanthaTracks.com for Star Wars news 24/7, 365.
So since our last recording, Farthest From have added a few guests. The first one, and this is an awesome guest, it's a guy who's been to the show 3 times previously. It's his 4th visit. It's super collector Gus Lopez. So Gus is coming over from the States, going to be talking to folks and chatting about his collecting habits, his trips around the world. He really does get around. So going to be fascinating to see Gus at the show on the 12th of December. He joins Matthias Rendahl, who's already been announced, and also announced just over the last couple of days, a couple of podcasts, Generation Skywalker and The Vintage Rebellion. They're both going to be there. They're both going to be recording shows. You'll be able to talk to all the guys behind those two sites and podcasts. So there's some really good guests who really know their stuff when it comes to vintage. I don't want to wish anything ill on you, Mark, but I do hope that your show in, is it Greece, doesn't happen so you can come to Farthest From. That's my selfish hope.
I have actually cancelled my leave for that week leading up to it. So as far as I think the band's concerned anyway, it's not happening. We've not heard anything from promoter. So yeah, you know, there's only so long you can kind of wait. So we have decided to make other plans. So hopefully that does mean that my plans will include a trip to Farthest From on the 12th.
Well, if they do, we need to sort something out, you know, make some plans. We've got Carl from Desert Planet coming. We've got Paul from The Site and from Start Your Engines coming. There's going to be a few Fanthas there. Maybe we should sort of come up with some concoctions and try and figure something out.
That sounds like a plan, doesn't it?
Let's do that. At the very least, a curry on the Saturday night.
I'm Neil deGrasse Tyson, and you are following Fanthatrax.
The High Republic, the conclusion of Phase 1 starts January 2022. Now, me and Brian spoke to Kevin Scott, as I mentioned earlier, at MCM London. That's coming out on a forthcoming episode of Cannon Fodder. The Phil Noto poster artwork, probably be a trade paperback cover by the looks of it, it's absolutely beautiful, was posted by the official Star Wars Twitter feed, and then all the authors shared it. Everybody got talking about it. Not an awful lot we can say other than we know that the end of Phase 1 is coming in January, but what do you make of that image?
Looks stunning, doesn't it? Yeah, you know, Phil Noto's work always looks good. Mm. So it's exciting. And I think, you know, hopefully this is going to be a really good, strong end to this first phase.
What are you expecting from the end of that phase? Because everyone's piling in on poor old Kevin Scott, because a certain character, without giving anything away for people who haven't read Rising Storm, a certain character has a pretty rough time of it at the end of that book. And Kevin Scott is absolutely getting battered for it. And he takes it all in good humour, but I'm sure at some times he must go, this is going to get very old very quickly, because it's kind of become a thing. But that being said, this is a completely new era. They can do what they want, really. There's no constrictions on what everybody can die at the end. It could be Rogue One times 100 if they want to make it that way. But what is your gut telling you? Just structurally as a story, it's a three-part play, isn't it? It's a three-phase storyline. So you've got to drop down the plunger to get to Empire Strikes Back before you can rise up again for Return of the Jedi kind of logic. But what are you expecting at the end of Phase 1?
Kind of feel like this needs to be the conclusion of like the Nihil, if I'm honest, because them and the Drengir kind of run their course, and especially for Drengir, kind of feel like they didn't really get going. So whether or not that means that something's going to happen in Phase 2, but it kind of at least feels like for the time being, but you know, the Jedi on top of the Drengir issue, so that's not necessarily an issue. And I find the Nihil interesting, but also not as interesting as, was it the Leveler that was unleashed in Rise and Storm? Yeah. That has some interesting force behind it, because I think ultimately when they were, you know, initially talking about and launching this whole series, you know, the thing that all the authors were talking about was like, you know, what is the thing that the Jedi are most scared of and fear? And basically fear itself is that issue, isn't it? It's like fear is such a debilitation, and Yoda says it himself, you know, fear leads to the dark side. So ultimately fear has probably got to be the one thing that is always going to be in the back of their mind. Yeah. I would like to see that by the end of Phase 1, maybe the Jedi have been a little bit pasted a little bit more. So like, you know, not only are they're shaken to their core because, you know, a couple of them have died, but also maybe they're slightly decimated and actually split up and stuff. I mean, because there's quite a large group of Jedi, you know, there's quite a large cast for this whole era. So it'd be quite interesting to see them, all of them kind of slightly out on their own and maybe facing their own weaknesses and seeing how that translates for Phase 2.
One thing I wonder is that if they stick to the established law, which they, you know, they don't have to, they can work around it, but I think it would be contradicting something that's been fairly well set, is that there's no Sith at this time until Phantom Menace. And there hasn't been for 500 or 600 years before this. But just because you're not using the light side of the Force doesn't necessarily make you a Sith. Becoming a Sith is to be trained to be a Sith, like becoming a Jedi is to be trained to become a Jedi. It's just not that black and white. If you use the dark side, doesn't always mean you're necessarily a Sith. There's some wriggle room in the perception of what those camps, if you want to call it that, are. And I think with this, one thing that keeps coming back to me and when I think about where they could take it is Cameron Scott again. It's the Dooku Jedi Lost, the whole Lost 20 thing, which we've known about since, what, Attack of the Clones? And you kind of wonder how many of these Jedi, currently Jedi characters from the High Republic era, become part of the ranks of that Lost 20 Jedi who walked away from the Order and who will be considered to be in that group. And I can see, because they're all fresh characters, because there's not a single character really other than, I mean, obviously Yoda, but, you know, other very few others, and I'm sure they'll work in a couple of others that are kind of familiar, long-lived characters. For example, can't remember if it's High Republic Adventures or the actual High Republic comic, the next story takes place on Tarkadana. We know Maz's castle is on Tarkadana and has been there for 1,000 years, so there's every chance you're going to see Maz coming up in High Republic.
Yeah.
They've not announced it, but that kind of makes some sense. So, you know, there's things like that, but nevertheless, I just think that you've got wriggle room to build adversaries using the Force for their own nefarious means or whatever they might be, but not necessarily becoming Sith.
I'm Stephen Lane, CEO and founder of Prop Store. Let me tell you a little bit about the auction itself. It's a three-day auction, November the 9th through to November the 11th. We're going to start each day at about 3 p.m. GMT, so that's 3 p.m. here in London. That's 7 a.m. on the west coast of the US and 11 a.m. on the east coast of America. There's going to be over 1,000 lots from over 300 film titles and TV shows. So please be prepared to tune in for about 6 to 7 hours each day. And you can find out all the information about the auction and register for bidding at propstore.com/live auction.
So the latest Prop Store Entertainment Memorabilia live auction takes place on the 9th to the 11th of November. This one has got all sorts of stuff. There's about 1,100 items going into the auction, but a good chunk of them, over 100, are actually from the Star Wars galaxy. There's some phenomenal stuff. I don't know if you've got the page open on Fantha at the moment, Mark. But
I do.
You do,
yeah.
That's perfect. And anybody listening should do the same, unless you're driving. But roll through it because there's some gorgeous stuff. There's a light-up X-Wing, ILM X-Wing from Episode 6 from Return of the Jedi. Estimate on that, 200,000 to 300,000. It's the lead picture on the article because yeah. It's gorgeous. What do you make of that? That's beautiful, isn't it?
I mean, yeah. Along with everybody else, if they had spare cash. I mean, the fact that it's still working and it still lights up, it looks wicked. Stormtrooper helmet, always good. You can just see how battered it is.
Yeah.
You can see where the decals on the cheeks have been applied because they're still kind of fairly white. But the plastic, I think it would have been, is it HPD, something like that, does yellow very quickly.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's not surprising that that's looking like that. Also, there's a R2 droid, which is from Rogue One. So that has got a estimate of £100,000 to £150,000. And then, of course, we've got the hero lightsaber from Episode 1 from Phantom Menace. And it's Darth Maul's. And I think as lightsabers go, probably Darth Maul's lightsaber has to be one of the most iconic hilts, I think, out there. It's a hero hilt, but it looks to be made of resin. It doesn't look necessarily, you know, at least the emitter end has got like bubbles in it and stuff like that, which you'd probably get in a resin. I don't know if maybe the rest of it is actually a metal or something, but I thought the hero hilts were actually made of metal. Maybe I'm wrong. Some big high value ticket items there that if you want to, you know, have a splurge before Christmas, why not go and do it?
Exactly. There's a couple of other bits. There's Hayden Christensen's or Anakin Skywalker's lightweight belt lightsaber from Revenge of the Sith, £40,000 to £60,000. Bail Organa's hero blaster, also from Revenge of the Sith, £20,000 to £30,000. C-3PO's hand from The Empire Strikes Back, £15,000 to £20,000. Now this one, I'm thinking there was, and I can't remember Bantha Tracks back in the day, 81, something like that. One of the prizes, it was a writing art competition. And one of the prizes, yeah. I cannot remember if it was a hand or a foot. It was a 3PO hand or a 3PO foot, and I can't remember. But as soon as I saw that, I thought, I wonder if that is that self-same thing.
From Bantha Tracks gave away a screen-use prop.
Yeah, they did, yeah. It was the big prize.
Wow.
There was all sorts of stuff. Just before I joined the fan club, that was when they put all the fan club members' names in the capsule and such. I joined about 6 months after, so I just missed out on that, much to my regret when I found out. There's a Hoth Rebel Trooper pistol from Empire Strikes Back, £15,000 to £20,000. An absolutely beautiful, untrimmed, Gone with the Wind quad, UK size landscape from Empire again, £10,000 to £15,000. A Death Star gun model miniature from Episode 6 from the Death Star, £10,000 to £15,000. You can see the foam there. It's just starting to fracture a little bit, but it's still very clear what it is. And then a Darth Vader tour costume when the original trilogy got its VHS release in 95. Perfect Vader costume, £10,000 to £15,000. Absolutely incredible stuff. I love covering Prop Store on the site because the pictures are so gorgeous and it's just incredible. It's way out of our league. Nice to dream, isn't it? It's nice to dream.
This is Steve Bloom, voice of Zebraelios, and you're listening to Fantha Tracks. Caravast. May the Force be with you.
The solicitations for January 2022. Can you believe January 2022? Makes no sense.
God.
Not 2022. It can't be. There's a whole bunch of comics coming out in the month. There's Horror Republic Eye of the Storm. There's Horror Republic Trail of Shadows. Ongoing titles. There's Crimson Rain is in there. Bounty Hunters, obviously. Dr. Aphra Star Wars issue 21. But the one that really caught our eye that I wanted to get your thoughts on, Mark, is Star Wars Halcyon Legacy, issue 1 of 5. Now, obviously, this ties in with Galactic Star Cruiser, which launches in the spring of 2022.
Yeah.
They're tying in very closely with that. Did you expect, because I didn't, but I didn't expect it with Galaxy's Edge, did you expect them to do a spin-off comic series?
I think I even kind of suggested it, like
so
a couple of
your
episodes
idea. This
back.
Is your idea?
I wouldn't, well, no, clearly.
Because obviously Marvel are listening.
Credit for yeah. it. But I think I may have said, and I may have said it slightly tongue-in-cheek, maybe slightly facetiously, mm-hmm. about I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, Dr. Aphra starts popping up.
Yes.
And I wonder, because of the fact that, you know, it says Halcyon Legacy, and I've not read the blurb about potentially what the comic's about, but I wonder if actually they do time hop, and maybe it's a Halcyon through different eras. It gives you an excuse to put all the characters onto the Halcyon.
That's a great point, because reading the blurb, I think you've nailed it. It says, as the Legendary, clearly there's a history to the ship. Legendary Halcyon embarks on a momentous cruise. The ship heads towards a confrontation with the First Order, so that sequel trilogy. But what secrets from the High Republic era can help the passengers and crew all these years later? And how did Jedi Nibs and Burry is the Wookiee, fend off a Nihil attack on one of the first ever voyages? So, yeah, you're right. I think you are. You'll probably be on that ship. There'll be sometimes you're in High Republic era, sometimes you're in First Order era, sometimes classic. Yeah, I think you've nailed it there.
But hey, that's going to be a fun little read, because it's quite nice to be able to do that kind of stuff. Because whilst we've had OT era tie-ins to High Republic and stuff, but actually to get a story that potentially is going to time jump between the High Republic and different eras, I think it's quite fun, and you know, it's going to be quite unique. So I'm sure you'll be able to pick up limited edition covers at the Halcyon, at the Galactic Star Cruiser when it finally opens up to the public.
Yeah, that's a very good point. That's a good point. And it is issue 1 of 5, so we should learn a bit about the ship, a bit about its history. They did a pretty good job, I think, with the Galaxy's Edge comics. I wasn't sold initially, yeah. but you know, once they actually got up and running, they were actually a lot of fun.
Yeah, I think the reason why they worked better was because some of the other supporting novels and stuff did feel a little bit more like the authors. As much as they made an engaging story, it did feel like at points they were just lifting the blurbs that they've been told to include into their novel from like Disney marketing, and it kind of felt a little bit like that, like it was very much a promotional piece. Mm. But the comics never necessarily did as such, because I guess maybe because it's obviously it's a graphic visual medium and that, so you actually get to see it, so you don't necessarily get to, you know, things explained to, you know, what Doc Ondar's kind of like Den of Antiquities is, because actually you can see it, and you can see all the random, crazy, ancient stuff. It's not that I think they're, you know, I'm too concerned about this is just going to be another, you know, sale and peace and stuff. And actually, I guess maybe this makes sense, you know, issue 1 in January. So by the time issue 5 is out, the hotel's open and there'll be a big whoop-de-doo. And, you know, like I said, there might even be some kind of direct tie-in to the end of the Halcyon Legacy with actually the events that do happen when you go and stay there. So I'm going to escort Mr. Newbold like a nurse escorts an elderly gentleman through the gardens of a retirement home to the outro. Basically, what this means is, unfortunately, everybody, it's the end of the episode. But if you want to ask us a question or have a thought, comment or theory, you can drop us an email and they are most certainly welcome. So, Mark, can you let the good people know how they can get in touch?
If I can remember my lines, I will. And thank you for walking me to the door. If you want to be a part of the action and stay updated on all the latest Star Wars news, visit fanthatracks.com or check out the free...
Whee!
Fanthatracks app through the App Store to follow us on your mobile device. You can reach out to us and send in your listeners' questions by emailing radio@fanthatracks.com. You can comment, like and share on any of our social media feeds at Fanthatracks. Be sure to subscribe, leave a review, preferably a 5-star one, on Amazon Music, Audible, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify or your podcatcher or smart speaker of choice. And as always, thanks to James Temple for composing the Fanthatracks intro, Adam O'Brien for our making tracks opening music, and Mark Daniel and Vanessa Marshall for our voiceovers. Remember, tune in to our Fanthatracks news show, Good Morning Tatooine. It's live Sunday evenings at 9 p.m. UK, 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific, on Facebook, YouTube, and if and when we can get it working, on Twitter. And I will be seeing you, Mark, hopefully Saturday night, but if not Saturday night, then Sunday, because we're up at Gateshead Unleashed, aren't we?
We are both up there. I'm there with my good lady with the Rebel Legion, and no doubt I will catch up with you so we can record a live episode 113.
I know, can't wait, looking forward to it. Safe travels.
Thank you, mate. I will see you then, and everybody else, you take care, stay safe, and may the Force be with you.
Thanks for listening. Coming up next on Fantha Tracks Radio, it's Cannon Fodder.